fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win the Green Beret.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. J.R. Moore here on Tuesday, the 5th day of July. The prepper tip of the day is to stock up, team up, and train up. This morning we got a full house, not everybody all the time. So here's our folks that are going to be at the round table. First of all, Leon Green, former U.S. Navy officer. Then we have Jeff Nyquist. He's authored 6 books on the international commerce conspiracy. His website is jrnyquist.blog. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning.
Okay. Steve O'Neill, the nuclear scientist. His articles are published exclusively on the internet at my website at thelibertyman.com. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, John. Good to be with you.
And at the top of the next hour, we will have Steve Ben-Noon with us, the former CIA field operative. He'll be with us for about a half an hour. I want to begin with Jeff Nyquist. And Jeff, your most recent article was published the 26th of June. You've had a couple of days off to celebrate our independence from England. And, of course, what's heavy on my mind and many of our listeners is the following, Jeff. Do you have any updates on various intelligence coming out of China, sir?
Well, the only updates are we're waiting to see if China starts the blockade of Taiwan. The sources are saying that they are mobilizing for war in China. They're attacking our supply chain. And it's even in the Chinese press that I've even gone there and used a translator. They're talking about cutting off America's supply chain. So they're going to be, you know, cutting us off of things that we need to help to the breakdown of our economy.
Well, it's not just the economy. As I was talking about this on my show more than 10 years ago, that parts that go into our high-performance jet aircraft and military aircraft in general are manufactured in China. Now, I don't know if that's still the case or not, but that is the way it was 10 years ago. Do you have any
parts of combines that are used to harvest our crops are made there?
Yes,
so
sir.
If you have a breakdown of the supply chain, and when you talk about an economy, it is, I didn't say just anything. an airplane or a jet engine is just a jet engine, but every aspect of our economy that's dependent on Chinese inputs. And by the way, they make more than half of our pharmaceutical ingredients for our medicines. So one Chinese general thought that they could collapse our medical industry, our healthcare industry, by cutting off the APIs, the pharmaceutical ingredients that they provide. And that may very well be the case. How many people are on high blood pressure medication? How many people are on medications that if they don't get those medications, they will die or they will suffer serious injury?
Well, that's a good question, but I do know that, and it's been a while since I looked this up, but it's common knowledge, Jeff, that more money is spent per person per year on healthcare in the United States than any other country. That's well known. And I got the list here in front of me. Let's see.
We're so gigantic. We're so overweight. I mean, I was watching the police
here we
in
are.
Chicago.
Go ahead.
I was watching the police in Chicago yesterday. I never saw so many gigantic, super fat police officers. I mean, I was trying to find somebody that had a normal build. These people were like bloated up like balloons. They were like balloon people.
I do have some more information. I don't want to make excuses for fat cops on one hand. On the other, body armor does gives the appearance of at least another 10 pounds of weight because of
all of these people were over 100 pounds overweight. All of these guys I was watching on TV. And so, but it's so common now. You walk down the street and you see, did you know that 39% of Americans are not just overweight, they're obese. 39%. And you talk about the health, the damage to your health that being obese does. So you want to know why Americans have all these big, huge medical bills? Well, there's your reason right there.
Well,
if you're obese, you're going to have abnormally high medical bills.
Let me help you out here, Jeff. I'm going to list some third world countries. How about Thailand? How about Oman? How about, Slovenia, Portugal?
Well, Slovenia, to be fair, Thailand and Slovenia aren't really, they're not the poorest countries in the world, really.
Well, they're not, but how about Uruguay? I just mentioned these. 53 countries, people live longer than the United States.
Well, I had a friend who visited Uruguay not long ago, and he loved it. He wants to move there, and the people are nice, and he said it's like America in the 50s. Telling me.
Well,
People
in Uruguay live longer than people in the United States.
Well, sure.
People in 53 countries live longer than people in the United States. And something's really broken. We're talking about the breakdown of the American medical system. Here's the top 10. I don't want to list all 53 countries. Here's the top 10 where people live the longest. Number one, Japan. Then we go to Singapore, South Korea, Norway, Australia, Switzerland, Iceland, Israel, Malta, and Sweden. Now, there's 43 other countries, including Italy, by the way, and Spain, and Ireland, where people live longer in the United States. Why don't we adopt the health care of Japan, where people live the longest? Would that be a smart thing to do, to duplicate what works?
Well, Japan is a different culture than us. But
it is.
And there are more disciplined people in Japan, generally speaking.
You're right.
The thing about Americans is that we have lost a lot of our discipline and our piety and our regard. You know, it says in the Bible that that if you honor your father and mother, your days will be lengthened.
Roger that.
You know, I wonder if people really do that in our country.
Well, it's, you know, it's a big country, and it's going to vary from family to family, obviously.
Yeah, sure.
Anyway, getting back to the issue of China and Taiwan, you made a statement a moment ago that China is preparing for war. Tell us what that means, sir.
Well, they're mobilizing more troops. They're increasing the size of their army. They're building their navy. They just launched a new aircraft carrier here last month. They've got they're retrofitting ro-ro ships.
Tell people what I know what ro-ro.
Ro-ro ship is a roll-on, roll-off ship that's made for dual use, so that they can put tanks and armored personnel carriers on it. They're having more aircraft sorties. So they're increasing their according to the Mr. Wang of Luda Media, they are moving road mobile IRBMs and ICBMs around in positioning them for war, for an exchange for a missile war.
Let's back up a bit. We just happen to have a former U.S. Navy officer with us now, Leon. I'm going to make a statement and ask you to back this up. An aircraft carrier does not float alone. It's part of a task force, which includes, I'm going to say, tell me some real numbers, 12 to 14 other surface craft and three or more submarines. How many ships, surface ships and submarines are there in an aircraft carrier task force, which would be a U.S. but task force, but I would assume a Chinese carrier task force would be similar. Your response, Leon.
Yes, sir. When I was in from the 80s and 90s, it was average of 10 to 15. And typically, they would have one fast attack submarine it would follow, and it, as a protector. And now I'm not sure about the SOP. You know, in the last since the woke military, but I assume that, you know, it's still pretty much the same because, you know, it's worked. And I'd assume that China, because they've learned so much from us, and they back engineer so much from us, looking at the Raptor planes. But they're going to do the same thing. They're going to say, well, it works for Americans. We'll do the same thing. And, you know, obviously they wanted more automation, and apparently they're launching some ships that are completely automated. There's no crew. And so it's a drone ship, and it'll have missiles and the whole shebang. So when I think about how they can do that, they're just emulating us, since we were the world's superpower. And now we have some contention to other. And so in that regard, yeah, it's about those numbers. And I would assume that China doesn't have the same submarine capabilities as America, so they may not want to, you know, expose a sub needlessly to that risk of, you know, being attached to the main carrier, because that is a huge target, you know, for missiles across the board.
The point of this part of our conversation, gentlemen and ladies and gentlemen, is Jeff Nyquist just made a statement that China's launched an aircraft carrier. What I want to make sure everybody knows is that an aircraft carrier is indicative of a dramatic increase in the size of the Chinese Navy. It's not just an aircraft carrier. It means, did you say, Leon, 13 to 15 surface ships? In addition
Correct.
To the aircraft carrier? That's a lot.
Yes, exactly.
That's a chunk. I mean, we're Jeff, that's a pretty big deal. Adding another carrier task force to any Navy is a really big deal, Jeff, isn't it?
Well, every year China adds to its Navy in tonnage of warships the size of the French Navy every year.
Every year.
Yeah.
And that's... Well, they can do it. I mean, in centuries and centuries ago, the Chinese were building ships the size of a World War II aircraft carrier out of wood, so they've been in the shipbuilding business for many, many centuries, and obviously they've gotten pretty good at it. Jeff, when increasing the size of the military, that's very expensive. Add anything to the gross domestic product of China. It takes away from gross domestic product, diverts resources into things that serve no useful purpose in normal times. serve a great purpose in wartime, don't they, Jeff?
Yeah, well, it seems like they're shifting their economy, and this is what we're seeing. They're shifting their economy from a peacetime or normal economy to a wartime economy. And this is what the 56-minute meeting in Guangdong in May, on May 14th, was about. Was about transitioning China from normal to war economy and preparation. Russia also, there's been rumors the last week, and the Ukrainian government has stated that they think there's a clandestine mobilization going on in Russia, a hidden one. Now there's more stories coming out of Russia about the use of the emergency powers that Putin got in February and April to have a full-scale mobilization of Russia and the turning over of Russia's economy to a war economy. And I guess we'll find out in the next few days. But if you have both China and Russia mobilizing for war, trying to be as stealthy as they can, at the same time, you have a real problem, because the defector literature tells us, and defectors have told me, that Russia and China are together. They've been secret about it. But when they come out together, that means they're coming out to confront us. And it's going to be a turning of the tables. They're going to say, all right, now we're going to be dictating to you. And now you are the weak country, and now you don't have any ability to defend. So now we're going to rearrange the entire map. And that's what we're looking at right now.
Well, the statement just made sounds like that they would use threats of war to accomplish goals, as opposed to actual war to accomplish goals involving a conquered country. Is that somewhat accurate?
Already we have had threats of war. Russia has been threatening nuclear war. They've threatened Britain on TV with a tsunami bomb. They have threatened nuclear war against targets in the United States and Europe. The Chinese, of course, have been making threats for some time, and threats regarding Taiwan. They are putting ships, the Russians and the Chinese, are putting warships around Japan to intimidate the Japanese. So intimidation and war is already going on in Eastern Europe. The Russian army has invaded Ukraine. They're putting back the Soviet Union back together again. And China is making noises like they're going to take Taiwan back. And, of course, that's what we're hearing from both Luda Media and from this 57-minute recording, is that Luda Media says they are going to blockade Taiwan probably in the next 4 to 6 weeks. The blockade is going to begin. And that's the signal that we're going to be confronted with a choice, either defend our allies or go to war. And a lot of people are saying this war in the Ukraine is going to be extended to NATO, to the Baltic states.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Well, I want to turn to Steve O'Neill for a bit. Steve, your analysis has a lot of involvement of the coming violent earth changes involving changes in the sun, changes in the climate, not due to cow flatulence or using the wrong light bulbs or Ford diesel pickup trucks, but due to natural occurrences that human beings have nothing to do with, along with human beings attempting to cool down the planet by spraying all these chemicals into the atmosphere. My belief, Steve, and I want your feedback on this, is that these countries, Russia and China, other countries, but mostly Russia and China, they know what's coming. They know have a general timeline, and they want to have certain things in place before these violent earth changes slow down or shut down everything. Your response, Steve?
Well, Russia and China are reacting to Western neocon policy.
Hold on to the break here, Steve. We'll get a response after the break.
Yeah.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
So let's fix bayonets. We'll have the advantage of moving down the hill. They gotta be tired, the Revs. They gotta be close to the end if we are. So fix bayonets. Ellis, wait. Ellis, you take the left wing. I'll take the right. I want a right wheel forward of the whole regiment.
What, you mean charge?
Yes, but here's what we do. We're going to charge swinging down the hill. Just like we pulled back to this left side of the regiment, now we're going to swing it down. We swing like a door. We're gonna sweep them down the hill just as they come up. Understand? Does everybody understand?
Yes, sir.
All right, we are back, ladies and gentlemen. This hour is sponsored by EMP Shield. You want to protect your car, your spouse's car, that youngster off to college the same way the Department of Defense does, and get a discount. You can do that at my website at thelibertyman.com. This is Tuesday Morning Roundtable. We have Leon Green, former U.S. Navy officer. We have Steve O'Neill, a nuclear scientist. We have Jeff Nyquist. His book for sale at Amazon.com. His website's jrnyquist.blog. And Jeff, before we get back to Steve's comments, how can people subscribe to your article, sir? Please tell us.
There's a PayPal button below every video or article that they can contribute to the site to keep it going.
Roger that. And, of course, Steve O'Neill's articles are published on the Internet exclusively at thelibertyman.com. Steve, you were giving us some discourse on the Russians and Chinese and how and why they're responding. Please continue, sir.
Well, as I said, Russia and China are their immediate concerns have to do with dealing with the Western neocon policies, which have been now brought to a crescendo. Overall, there are some geophysical events which are governing the ultimate equation in what's going to happen. They're composed of some long-term natural things which have to do with the sun. There is a long-term cooling trend that's on the order of at least centuries and certainly at least decades. However, those are irrelevant to us now. They're second and third order term in an equation that now is violently heating. Much of what's going on has to do with the combination of industrial pollution and the weaponization of weather, which has been going on. Every one of the American conflicts in the last 50 years has involved in one capacity or another the creation of drought, the manipulation of weather. And this overall process has led to a situation that's gotten out of control. And there is a supranational activity that is involved, of course, in the geoengineering issue. And they're desperately trying to hold back the fact that the planet is now in a feedback loop that is going to make it unlivable if we aren't very, very lucky. At the same time, there's an astrophysical process in which there is a weakening of the Earth's magnetic field, and this is most likely due to the chain of solar cycles as well, the solar magnetic cycles. And this, of course, degrades the ozone and all that it does. On top of that is the fact that the aerosol spraying is causing massive acceleration of that problem. And so all of this is compounding, and it's leading to a situation in which our food supply will infarct sometime over the next several years. The general global food supply will be devastated. Now, the warming effect is due to some extremely rapid heating effects due to the fact that the campaign to try to reflect sunlight actually in the long term reflects more infrared back and actually causes the plant to heat up, interferes with the hydrologic cycles, creating massive drought. At the same time, the atmosphere is drawing more moisture up because of the increased temperature. And, of course, this produces extreme violent deluges in certain areas and droughts in others, none of which is conducive to producing crops. Now, all of this is in the backdrop, the very quiet backdrop, behind geopolitical objectives, which have been going on for some time. The whole philosophy has been on the Western side to absorb Russia into the NATO group, bring them to their knees economically, and force them to submit to this process. Same objective with China. The Central Intelligence Agency's primary charter is regime overthrow. That's what they were chartered to do. You know, the OSS origins had to do with dealing with Stalin, and of course Reinhard Gehlen over there in Germany, and his group, which became a significant basis for the Cold War and really attitudes between the East and West that prevail even now. The issue is that Western policy has absolutely no intention of doing anything but obliterating Russia. And the Russians know this. And at the same time, we have a situation in Ukraine, which is the fuse for this process, in which, the Belgrade and Minsk agreement...
Let's continue this after the break. We have a break. Right there.
Okay. You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our Easy 4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. Patricia, excellent herbal formula. I use Extendivite to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Brian, I'm using Extendivite, and for me, it has made a world of difference. God made all these nutrients in the ground. Enough said. Cammie, 5 stars. I feel a lot of energy since I started taking Extendivite. TR, 5 stars. All I can say is Extendivite works. Buy it, try it, and see for yourself. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Well, I wish I was in the land of cotton wool, and there I'm not forgotten. In Dixie's land, where I was born in early on one frosty morning. Look away, look away, look away, Dixie land. And I wish I was in Dixie, hooray, hooray. In Dixie's land, I'll take my stand and live and die in Dixie. Away, away, away down south in Dixie. Away, away, away down south in Dixie.
All right. Let's jump more back. I'm so happy that we now have the new parcel of real estate. If you want to be my neighbor, it's listed as Log Home on Yoakum Road, Log Road, Log Home, Yoakum Road. Not quite 6,000 square feet of living space, room for at least 3 families to be comfortable. You might want to check that out. I'll be shipping energy clearance the next few days. And I had a great 4th of July sale, helping people get relief from arthritis pain, helping people get the best night's sleep they've had sometimes in decades. Check out the energy cleaner at my website, the mattress pads that go with it. I'm taking delivery of 32 micro plush throws this week to meet that demand. If you already got an energy cleaner, you might want to check out the micro plush throws at thelibertyman.com. This is a Tuesday morning roundtable with Leon Green, former U.S. Navy officer, Jeff Nyquist, has written 6 books on the international commons conspiracy. His website's jrnyquist.blog. Steve O'Neill, nuclear scientist. His articles published exclusively at thelibertyman.com. And Steve, you were giving us your thoughts on how the changes in the climate and the sun are affecting the activities of the Russians and Chinese. Please continue, sir.
Actually, the sun, what the sun's doing is almost irrelevant now. Our weaponization of weather has utterly destroyed our environment, and that's where the real problem. The false environmentalism having to do with carbon cuts and all that is baloney. It's true, but it's a half-truth that grossly misrepresents what's really going on, and that's the problem with it. The real issues are becoming geopolitical, and the prospect for semi-nuclear war sometime around 2024, 2025. And what's going on in Ukraine is that post-World War II, there was a strong alliance. You know, the United States made copious use of the German, not only its scientists, but the fellows in intelligence and so forth. And, of course, this was not to the delight of Stalin, not that we gave a damn whether it was his delight or not. But the thing is that this became a serious problem, and the post-war American and German cooperation became really a very dangerous thing for Russia. And in terms of Ukraine, you have to realize that Nuremberg did not try the Ukrainian Nazis. They had essentially immunity because they were working with the CIA, and they were against Russia. And this has been going on that long. Now, at the time of the Minsk Agreement, we already had the Belgrade Agreement, which essentially allowed Ukraine to surrender its nuclear weapons. It was the third largest nuclear power after the breakup of the Soviet Union, Ukraine was. And part of that agreement was to provide a certain degree of neutrality to the Ukraine issue. Keep in mind that Khrushchev was from the Donbas area, and that he had corporately assigned eastern Ukraine to the Kiev western area in order to, you know, just out of administrative reasons, having nothing to do with culture or any intention for it to be its own nation, which it just won't be. Eastern Ukraine is predominantly Russian, and the western Ukrainians hate the Russians. A lot of this comes from the fact that Stalin, pretending to make communism look like it worked, stole the Ukrainians' wheat, stole their food, made them starve, and fed it to the Russians. They hate them for it. Now, the other thing is that there is a very substantial existing residual of neo-Nazism in Ukraine, and this includes Vlad Zelensky, who has been paid hundreds of millions of dollars to play the Western game and sacrifice his country, which is what's being done. And you keep in mind, for 8 years, Western Ukraine has been shelling the civilians on the east side. This doesn't, of course, make angels out of the Russians or the Kremlin. That's a very dark place, too. But you have to put it in perspective. The whole discussion of Zelensky being Jewish is ridiculous because he married a non-Jew and he baptized his children. He's playing the game that's paying him. And he's part of, really, in the entire complex of Western leaders who are playing along and allowing this thing to transpire the way it is. And there's a lot of noise going on here. The thing is that there's been a long-standing quiet policy to prostrate and absorb Russia. Russia and China, in particular, do not subscribe to the Great Reset plan. This is why this is going on right now. Now, the schedule of it has more to do with the climate issue and the fact that we're running out of time. Hillary was to be put in 2016. The Brexit populist effect overrode the corruption of the election process enough that Trump went in anyway. But, of course, they absolutely completely compromised Trump once he was in office and then managed to get rid of him in 20, and we know all about it. There's a real concern around Washington that Biden is going to, at the last minute, sign off voting rights for all illegal immigrants right before the election. And if that happens, there's a real chance of civil war in the United States. All of this is going on, and it's geopolitics whose schedule is governed by the fact that the world's food supply is now becoming a serious problem. And the powers that be have to act quickly. The Ukraine is being used, and in fact, it was known years ago it would become the center of gravity of the East-West conflict. And this is, of course, in the context that there's been a long policy to do this with Russia and China. And essentially, what's going on, initially, the effort was to provide sanctions and to force a regime change in Russia. What these bozos in Geneva and Brussels and London and Washington don't understand, and I'm surprised, you know, they have big think tanks, you know, but how are they acting so stupidly? And they don't realize that once Putin was out, the tier below him in the Kremlin is completely unsentimental about Kiev or about nuclear war. They'll use it. They'll go nuclear much faster. It turns out that Putin is the fellow who really is more democratic. He may not necessarily be a nice guy, but there are a number of things. He's extremely intelligent, and he's sentimental about the history of Russia. They did not actually destroy and invade Ukraine because they didn't want to. The issue was dealing with the East, and he made the mistake of thinking that he could get away with this quickly. But the West came in and used it as a handle to do essentially what we did in Iraq. Develop a sustained war for a long-term objective of destroying Russia, balkanizing it, and compromising them so that they have to cooperate with the new economic plan. The other side of this dimension is the genocidal effect. You know, anything having to do with American populace, do you think they care one snap about the people? The United States population is essentially Rockefeller backwater labor who consume too much of the world's resources. We are expendable. That's their attitude, and it's really the attitude of they have toward most of the world's population. Now, the Georgia Guidestones aren't kidding. So anyway, there's so many dimensions to this problem that you can't put it in a few word packets on a few minutes on the air. There's a lot to this.
Well, that's a good overview. Now, Jeff, you probably disagree with some of Steve's prognostications on one hand. On the other, and you both come to the same conclusion with maybe slightly different timelines as to the conclusion. Would that be a fair statement, Jeff?
I would say that what Steve just gave, is the Russian state government version of events, both of World War II and of what we're dealing with now. So he's right up and down. It's like he's taken it right off of the Russian state media.
Okay, but I'm moving forward.
I'll answer that. No, that comes out of Kissinger and the best analysts in the world. They know what's really going on. I'm not pro-Russia. I simply want the right answers for this.
Well, no, then you're doing it without knowing it, then.
Well, no,
can I
I'm
ask
not.
You, Steve, where did you get your PhD in physics from?
I only got a bachelor's in physics. That was over in Indiana. My real degree I got over at Purdue.
Oh, okay. So you're not really a
physicist. That was nuclear engineering. That was nuclear engineering over there.
Mm-hmm.
No, the thing is that the problem is that Russia and the Kremlin have plenty of dark things, and the Russian, you got to realize, the Russian oligarchs.
Well, hold on, Steve. You said that Putin is more democratic than what, Zelensky?
Than the people who would follow. Than the people, if I can step right in here, than the people who would take Putin's place if and when he's gone.
No, there's nothing democratic about that regime. The elections have been fraudulent in Putin's Russia for many years. And they've been preparing for war against us for decades. And in fact, defectors, Stanislav Luna, for example, told me in 1999 that Russia and China had created a secret alliance at the end of the Cold War that they were going to destroy and conquer the United States. So it's very much the opposite of what Steve is saying here. It's not us coming after them. It's them coming after us. So I couldn't disagree with Steve more. I mean, everything Steve says is very objectionable to me. And very much misinforming these American people.
There's no doubt that China has an antagonistic view toward the United States, and they simply smile and have done business with us. Russia is, here again, a bunch of dirty businessmen over there, and the Ukraine is not exactly a clean place. But what about Washington, D.C.? What do you think's going on there? Some of the worst crimes in the world are being committed there. It's a problem with government in general, not whether it's Russia or the United States. There is a supranational.
Well, the problem is communism, and you got to understand the communists have infiltrated our academia, our schools, and then our government. And the communists here are aligned with Russia and China. Russia and China were the communist bloc. And if you read Yevgeny Albat, she's a reporter, a daughter, I think, of a GRU general. She wrote after the fall of the Soviet Union that the whole fall was orchestrated by the KGB. Like Defector Golitsyn said in 1984, they were going to orchestrate their own fall to get us to disarm so they could destroy us when they came together with China sometime after we had disarmed. And our nuclear arsenal is rotted. If we were planning to destroy them, how come we've allowed our nuclear arsenal to rot? They have all new missiles and all new nuclear weapons. We're the ones whose heads are on the chopping block. I mean, you've got the audience believing that if we get nuked and destroyed, which is Russia and China's plan, that we will be guilty. We're the guilty side. The reason our government is sabotaging us is because it's infiltrated by communists who are helping the Chinese and the Russians. That's what's really going on. But nobody can see this. I don't understand where these people get all this weird conspiracy stuff. We've watched the communists infiltrating us for 100 years. You read Reds in America, published in 1924 up here in upstate Michigan. They had a camp. They pretended to be some kind of music club. And the government raided it. They captured some of them. You know, hundreds of documents of how to infiltrate schools and churches and local politics. And they're all over Congress. What do you think these people are? You read the program of the Communist Party USA, which swore allegiance to Moscow in 1919, and the program of it is called the Road to Socialism, and it's to take all non-white and female people and make a supermajority of the oppressed, supposedly, and then push past the Constitution, overthrow the Constitution, and have a Soviet America. And by the way, everything in the program of the Communist Party USA, the Democratic Party is doing. It's not an accident. That's not an accident.
Are you trying to say that Henry Kissinger is reading out of the Communist playbook? This a significant part of what I've said relies upon his analysis, which I don't think is stupid.
There was a top British spy in the 1950s. His name was Michael Golanowski. His code name was Sniper. He had access to a list of Red Orchestra spies, and he was a colonel general in Polish communist intelligence. On this list of spies that the Russians recruited in Germany in 1945 was Sergeant Henry Kissinger. This has been written about, but everybody ignores it. Henry Kissinger was named when Golanowski managed to escape from Poland after spying for the British. He memorized that list of names. He was perhaps one of the most valuable spies, maybe the most valuable one, inside the Eastern Bloc that Britain ever had. Sergeant Henry A. Kissinger was on that list of recruited by the Red Orchestra GRU spy ring in 1945 in occupied Germany.
You have to realize that Kissinger is a first-tier globalist. His alliances are to the people running that show. They are neither aligned with Russia nor the United States.
Karl Marx was a globalist. And so does the Soviet Union. They believe in socialist globalism. That's what the whole program of the communist bloc was.
Soviet Union and communism are past. These countries are much more capitalist than they were before. And the thing is, this doesn't make them nice. Russia and China don't have pleasant objectives for the United States.
Wait a minute. Does the United States or Russia have more nuclear weapons? Who has more nuclear weapons?
Russia.
Right. And did you know we haven't built a nuclear weapon in this country for 30 years and we haven't even tested one in 30 years?
Listen, I worked on the electronics and the guidance system of the most lethal nuclear missile in the world. I know all about it.
Well, we'll get back to this discussion about it after the break. After the break, gentlemen, yeah. After the break.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of happy packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
We are living in a banana republic. I'm Peter Serafin with today's Liberty Minute. Kenneth Harrelson is a disabled American veteran who has been in a D.C. jail for 476 days without a trial. The Speedy Trial Act of 1974 states that an indictment must happen within 30 days and a trial must commence within 70 days of the indictment. I say again, Kenneth Harrelson has been in jail for 476 days without a trial. If that isn't bad enough, his wife just received notice that the VA is canceling Kenneth's benefits, both compensation and medical, at the urging of the Biden Justice Department. Law requires he lose his benefits if convicted of subversive activity. Harrelson fought for American justice, but is being denied his liberty by the Justice Department. Stand up, people, or you might be next. Until tomorrow, Sivis Pashem. Parabellum.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
All right, we are back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. Well, Steve, before the break, you were mentioning that you worked on the guidance system for what was at the time the most sophisticated missile on the planet. And so you have some direct knowledge of missiles and what they can do and our capabilities and the Russians, don't you, sir?
Yes. When I left, I did have some complaints about the way we were taking data. And frankly, to go any further with it, I really am not at liberty. But the thing is that Particularly in reference to the fact that we have Chinese parts in our military, we don't in the Trident missile. Those are captive line components. The electronics were. I did the radiation testing on them. Those missiles are relatively safe in that respect, but our military certainly is badly compromised. What's going to happen very soon? We're going to be forced into a situation in which we will have no option but to appeal to our nuclear arsenals, both us and Russia and China. That's where we're headed. I think we need to be talking peace. Why can't we just divide Ukraine down the Dnieper River and get on with our business contracts? That's what we should be doing. Talking peace. You know, Russia, China, United States all have their own agendas, and they don't necessarily have to like each other. They don't necessarily have to have nice plans for each other. But we can do business and try to make the world better in the meantime. This Russia paranoia doesn't pass it with me, I'll tell you that much.
Russia is potentially
very dangerous.
Paranoia is a fear of something that doesn't exist or a fear in excess of a real threat. Russia has missiles that go 20 times the speed of sound. Is that paranoia?
If I were Putin, I would have built it too. But the thing is this, look, you know, after a certain point, it doesn't matter how fast they go, John. Once we get into nuclear war, the world will be wiped pretty badly. I don't care how fast those missiles go. We can't stop ballistic missiles very well anyway. You know, so, you know, really, it's more show than anything. First of all, our submarines have how many thousands of warheads? You know, it'll be all over, you know, once they launch. And same with Russia. You know, there was just a submarine off our east coast, and we evidently weren't tracking it. And he surfaced. They've got about 60 weapons that would wipe out our coast. You know, the thing is that regardless of who's the nice guy and who ain't, if we don't start talking peace and figuring out a way to get this world back on a better track now, we are on a road to thermonuclear war somewhere around 2024, 25. There's a chance that things could go earlier by accident. You realize that there are three occasions in which we damn near got into nuclear war. One was, the Berlin blockade. Second was the Cuban Missile Crisis. And there were just, you know, McNamara himself, you know, essentially said, look, you know, it was just by dumb luck we didn't launch. And thirdly was Enable Archer, the NATO drill in 1983 during the era of the 007 Korean airliner shootdown and Reagan's evil empire speech. I think there are a number of things to criticize Russia about, but they're not the only ones.
They certainly are. Gentlemen, hold on. I expect to be joined by Steve Bannoun for half an hour, beginning in a few minutes. Everybody stand by. We'll be right back.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network.
because you can handle the truth.